episode of Once Upon a Podcast. I'm Brianna.
And I'm Serena. Here we're going to recap every episode of Once Upon a Time and compare them to their corresponding fairy tales, as well as with a bunch of other Disney movies.
Disney.
Don't we all, though? I mean, Disney is just so iconic.
Disney rules my life. I mean, runs my life.
I mean, she has Disney Plus, and she's been watching Disney since forever. I don't even know.
I think my first movie was Finding Nemo.
Wait, no way. My first movie was Finding Nemo. You're joking.
That's my first movie. I can't... Is that, like, Disney or Pixar? I think it's Disney.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Disney, actually.
I don't know. I think it's Pixar. But, I mean, Disney owns Pixar now, so yeah. It's the same thing.
Wait, I need to look this up really quick. Finding Nemo.
Because I know Toy Story is Pixar, for sure.
Finding Nemo. Oh, I forgot that Ellen was Dory. Okay. It says it's Pixar and also Walt Disney. So I'm assuming it was Pixar first.
Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense because it was, like, 3D animation. Disney didn't do it for a long time.
Right.
But the first movie I saw in theaters was Finding Nemo, which came out in 2003.
Oh, wow. I did not see it in theaters. My dad watched it with me when I was tiny. I don't think I remembered it when I watched it, but...
Yeah, I don't remember it either. That's just what I was told.
Yeah.
I can't remember my sister's first one. It might have been something weird, like Cars or something. I don't know.
I have no idea what my sister's first movie is.
Yeah.
But
Finding Nemo was so good, though.
It's so good!
Yeah.
It's also Finding Dory was pretty good, too.
Yeah. I was, like, for a sequel, I thought, like, because, like, usually sequels are not as good.
Mm-hmm.
But that was actually good. And so is Frozen 2.
Yeah. And so is Incredibles 2.
Yeah,
like,
Incredibles 2 is actually really, really good.
I know.
Like, people really liked it.
Yeah. No, they did a really good job. With the, like, 11-year gap, I feel like they just had so much pressure to do it well, too. So.
And it literally, like, started off, like, right at the end of Incredibles, like, with the Underminer. Yes.
Did they update the animation for that first scene, or did they keep it? I'm pretty sure they updated it, right?
I feel like they did. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they would do that.
Because they would have to fit in with the rest of the movie, so
yeah.
That makes sense. But Incredibles 2 is phenomenal.
Who's your favorite person? I always wanted to be Violet because she was shy like me, and she could turn invisible. I was like, oh my gosh, that would be the best thing ever.
I do love Violet because I feel like I relate to her as a long-haired person. and I used to do that thing where I would cover my face.
I was like, oh my god, I'm Violet.
I did that when I was really sad and my friend was like, what are you doing? But yeah, I did like Violet, but I also really loved the mom because her sass was phenomenal and she could just do everything at once.
I really like Frozone because he's like the chill, like he's like the cool uncle to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, he's a good character for sure. I feel like when I was watching it the first time though, there wasn't enough exposure to him, you know what I mean? Because he only had a couple of moments.
I remembered whenever him and the dad were like, we're going bowling, and then they, like, robbed a bank or something weird.
No, they didn't rob the bank. They saved them. They're the good guys, Bree.
I remember now because didn't they have, like, ski masks on and people thought they were robbed?
Yes, and then Frozone got them out of it because he froze the water in front of the police.
I haven't seen the movie in a while, I promise. I'm not this dumb.
It is an old movie, so...
Yeah. So, what's your favorite Disney movie?
Gosh. I mean, The Incredibles are great, but technically they're Pixar, so... I really love Some of the new ones are really good. Like, I was just talking about Brave with Merida. I love her.
I hate it because I don't hate the movie, but there's, like, weird parts. Like, the brothers are randomly naked for some reason. I think it's, like, when they're bears and they change back or something weird.
Yeah.
I remember the mom's naked, but they put, like, a blanket around her or something.
Yeah. It was a really cute animation. I feel like it was slightly different than the rest of the princess movies.
Yeah.
And I love that her hair was so wild. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Her personality was fun, and the accent was really fun, too. So, I like that one a lot. And Mulan, obviously, because she's a badass.
I used to watch Mulan, like, all the time, and my sister got mad at me because I always, like, only watched that, and whenever I was sick, that was, like, my go-to movie, and I would just watch Mulan, like, a million times. But I think my favorite one is Tangled, just because the songs are, like, the best things ever. And Flynn Rider is so cool for her love interest. Like, he's just so awesome.
Yeah, that's one of the most well-done Disney movies, I feel like. Just character development-wise, they did such a good job with Flynn.
Yeah.
And that's, all the other princes beforehand were just like, hi, I'm a pretty face, yeah, and I'm good, like, person.
No, why didn't Sleeping Beauty, like, Cinderella's prince doesn't even have a name. Snow White's prince... He has a name, but you don't know it unless you look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping Beauty's prince, you know, but he's also kind of irrelevant still.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tangled is so good. My favorite song is I See the Light.
Oh, and, it's
like,
so good.
The lanterns.
The lantern scene is so pretty. And there was one time, so I went to Japan and they, like, actually had the lanterns that looked like that, and I was fangirling so hard, but they drifted it down the lake instead of putting it up into the sky, but it still looked really cool. I have a ton of pictures I should show you later.
Cool. In Disney World, they don't have, like, an actual Tangled section, like, but they have, like, literally bathrooms that are decorated like Tangled. Like, they have Rapunzel's tower, and then, like, at the bottom is just kind of, like, a building, and there's, like, restrooms in there. It's weird. But, like, it's cool that the tower's there, and they also have, like, the little, like, banner things with the sun on it, like, the purple things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. They need an actual, like, Tangled part that's not just bathrooms, but it's still really cool to look at. So.
Yeah, no,
it's,
that's
like,
great.
The best bathrooms to go to, though, because it's, like, decorated, like, Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I don't remember. I've been to Disney World once, so I don't really remember, but I know it was phenomenal. Besides the lines. The lines are terrible, but,
yeah,
you know.
The lines are, like, terrible, but when you're there, like, you don't even care because you're, like, so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I've waited in the Avatar line. When it first came out, we went, and we literally, I think the first time we went on the ride, we had to wait, like, 3 hours. But some of the, like, Imagineering is really cool because they literally built a whole, like, world of Pandora there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, really cool. So, like, even though you have to wait a long time, like, some of it's interesting. And they do that for other rides, too.
Yeah. I mean, 3 hours is a long time. I don't know if I ever waited that long.
I mean, usually they're not that long, but if it's a new ride, it can be roughly that.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you can make the line waits fun, too. Like, my sisters would play random games with me while we were in lines. I mean, probably now we would play, like, the leg things from TikTok. You know, like, all of those dances where you, like, have to hit your legs in, like, certain patterns or whatever and turn. Yeah. It took me forever to learn.
Me and Belle were gonna film a TikTok in front of the Disney castle at some point, but, like, the Cinderella's castle in Magic Kingdom, but it got so crowded, and also we were getting tired, so we were just like, let's not. It's actually cool, because whenever we went, we got to see the Star Wars stuff, and there was this ride that literally just came out, like, a few weeks before we went, called Rise of the Resistance, and we, they, like, did this thing where it's virtual queues. So, like, you go on the Disney app, and once you enter a park, you can, like, click on to join a queue. And since we got there super early, we weren't in, like, a late group. But, like, since they have those, we maybe had to wait, like, an hour. And that's, like, very rare for a new ride. But since they did that, it was good. So.
Props to Disney systems.
Yeah, and it was so cool. The people were acting creepy, like, first order people.
Oh.
And so, like, literally, I was touching the wall, because whenever I'm bored, it, like, fits in and stuff, and the dude walks up to me, and he's like, why are you touching my wall? And I was standing there, and he was like, are you gonna do that again? I was like, no, because I was so scared, and he walked away.
Are you sure he was actually part of it? Like, what if he was just some random stranger that came by?
No, because they all dress up the same. Oh. Like, for a specific ride, they'll have specific outfits on.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, he was definitely a worker. Because, like, in Star Wars Land, or whatever, Galaxy's Edge, they really get into character. They, like, mess with you and stuff.
I love that. The one, when I went to Disney, they didn't have that Star Wars stuff yet, because that's fairly new, right?
Yeah, it literally came out December, well, I would say in Disney World, it came out August of 2019.
Yeah, so I went when I was in middle school, which is dating me, but it's five or seven years ago? I can't even remember at this
middle
point.
Middle school? Like, yeah. Between 2011, 2015, probably.
Right. So, right now is 2021. So,
COVID 10 years!
Oh, that's scary! I don't want to think about that. But, yeah, so it was a while ago. So they didn't have that. But I did see Magic Castle, I think it's what it's called.
Magic Kingdom? Wait.
Just the one with, like, the normal Cinderella's castle.
Yeah, that's called Magic Kingdom.
Okay, Magic
Yeah,
Kingdom.
That's, like, my favorite part, because the other ones are cool, but that one's, like, the one you go to for nostalgia, and it has all the awesome princess stuff, mm-hmm. and, like, all the classic rides, and super cute and stuff.
Yeah. So. I know when I went, it was, like, Christmas time, so they had a huge... And I don't know if it was New Year's or Christmas, because, I mean,
they decorate the great for the holidays.
Yeah, they had a whole show for, like, all of the lights. I have it filmed on my phone, and then they had a gigantic parade, and then they did the lights on the castle that they always mess with. That's so cool.
They also, like, I don't know if you saw it, but I think you probably haven't, because it's in, like, the downtown Disney area, mm-hmm. I believe. But they have this area where it's just, like, you can walk through and it's Christmas trees, but decorated to, like, Disney characters.
Oh, you know, I think I saw something like that. I don't know if it's the exact same thing, but there were Christmas decorations everywhere and it was, like, a plaza kind of place. It was really fun walking around that because the lights were all dancing around, too. It was magical.
Oh my gosh, I love Disney. Sadly, I can't go back for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It'll happen eventually. Disney will not die. We've determined this.
I'm actually excited to go back. It'll be a while, but there's a new Ratatouille ride that they're making, or they just finished making.
No way!
Yeah, it's called, like, Remy's something adventure, like Remy's kitchen adventure, something like that. And it seems so fun.
That's so interesting that they're doing that right now, because Ratatouille was made a long time ago.
Yeah, but Ratatouille got really popular recently, so it makes, I guess, either a coincidence or Disney knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Which they probably knew what they were doing because they know everything.
Yeah.
Did we talk about who was our favorite Disney princess yet?
I mean, I kind of went over it with, like, Mulan and Merida a little bit. I mean, I'm indecisive, so really, I could pick any princess at any point, but...
Yeah. My favorite movie is Tangled, and then my favorite princess is Belle, just because... I always, like, felt, when I was little, people were always like, you look like Belle and you remind me of Belle, and I low-key used to be mad because my favorite was Sleeping Beauty, but now I realize I'm, like, a lot more like Belle.
Yeah.
Like, I love to read, and I'm, like, kind of independent, and, like, kind of trying to do my own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can really see Belle's personality in you. I think you would love to have that gigantic library with, like, the ladders and stuff. That's
so cool. That's, like, whenever I, like, have a house and stuff, I'm gonna have a room full of books only.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome.
That's the dream. I went to this bookstore in Europe one time. It's called Shakespeare and Company. I highly recommend. But they have those sliding... ladders that are, like, wooden, and it's, like, a multiple story building.
I wanted to go on those ladders so bad.
I know.
I didn't know they were real.
They are real. In, like, I guess they must be in older bookshops.
Yeah.
But They're great, let me tell you. And that place, if you go to the right floor, I think it's the second floor, there's a piano nook. And then there's also a resident cat that they just have and feed. There's like a sign that says do not feed the cats or something. But yeah, it's really great. They have couches and everything. It's a very cozy environment.
That's cool.
Yes.
Should we talk about Marvel news really quick and then dive into Once Upon a Time?
Yeah, I think we should probably get to that.
Okay. So we have like some Marvel news. We are releasing this podcast a few months from now. Like, we're trying to prep everything. So this will have already happened. But The Falcon and the Winter Soldier show is coming out March 19th, which is super exciting because, like, I've been waiting forever for Marvel content, and we've got WandaVision, but I still need more, especially of Bucky and Sam, because they're a best. Like, I love their friendship. So, like, by the time we, like, release this, the show will probably have a few episodes out already, but we just wanted to mention that. And then we also have our first Marvel movie since Spider-Man Far From Home coming out.
Yes.
And it's Black Widow. And yes! We've been waiting for this for like literally over a year.
Yeah, and it keeps getting postponed. So just cross your fingers, everybody, that it doesn't.
It was supposed to come out a year before, but obviously things happen.
I know. I had this like Black Widow release date in my planner to go.
We were so excited. We literally bonded over Marvel because we forgot to mention, but we're college roommates. And so, like, that's, like, the first thing we really bonded over. And we were like, we have to see Black Widow. And then we got sent home early because of COVID. And Black Widow got delayed until November and then until the next year.
So we're just waiting for that to come out, hopefully.
Yeah, but it'll just make it even more exciting.
Exactly. The suspense just keeps building.
Yeah. We're going to stay on the bright side.
Yes, exactly. All right.
So we should probably dive into Once Upon a Time now. We got kind of a topic. But we just started watching Once Upon a Time this year because Serena's never seen it before.
Yeah, so Brie has watched this a lot.
Okay, so let me just say really quick. In middle school, when it came out, I used to wait every Sunday at 7 p.m. to watch it. I would make sure I got all my homework done first because this was, like, the most important part of my weekend. And all my friends would talk about it because we were all obsessed with it. And I've probably seen the show. Well, I haven't seen the last season yet, actually, because it, like, got weird. But I've probably seen, like, maybe, like, the first three seasons a lot of times. And then I've seen the newer ones only like a couple of times. But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, so she's seen this. I, on the other hand, have never seen it before, so this is a new experience for me. I actually have wanted to watch it for a really long time because it came out in middle school, like Brianna was saying, and so a lot of people were talking about it, but I just never actually watched it when I was that young. So now we have access to Disney Plus, and lo and behold, we can watch them together. Yeah. So it's a really fun because Brie knows everything and she's just sitting over here with the episode playing, like, laughing at me while I'm trying to figure out everything that's happening.
And we've actually been watching it pretty frequently because Serena got super obsessed and I'm like okay with it because I love the show. Oh my god.
It's a great show. I'm gonna be honest. I already hate the villain. Oh my gosh, Mr. Gold. Anyway.
Doesn't have a first name. That's gonna be the title of the episode. Mr. Yes. Gold doesn't have a first name. I've looked it up. There's only theories about what his name is. I don't think they've ever actually said what it is.
Which is ironic because he's Rumpelstiltskin, right? So names are very important for him to be able to cast his magic or whatever on the people that he's dealing with. But he doesn't have a first name, which may be on purpose, maybe not, I don't know. But I thought it was cool.
Yeah, I wonder how that happened because Regina, like, created the curse. Well, she didn't create it, but, like, she did the curse.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how did she pick out what each person's job was gonna be? Like, did she picture the town in her mind? Like, I've always thought about that, like.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a lot to plan. Can you imagine? Because that town is actually decently big.
Yeah, because it's every fairy tale character.
Yeah, and I don't know, does she really have exposure to all of these people?
Yeah, like, right? How would she know all of
them? I doubt she knows all of them.
So maybe the curse took them there, and maybe, like, it was just based on, like, what they would have done in the fairy tale world. They kind of picked something that matches their personality a little bit, like how Rumpelstiltskin works in the... What is it called?
It's not a thrift shop. Pawn store.
And he has all the, like, artifacts or, like, objects from the fairy tale world there. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, in the fairy tale world, he would always collect stuff from people in exchange for, like, doing magic for them. So it's interesting that that's what happened. And then also how Regina became the mayor and she was the queen in the fairy tale world.
Right. I mean, all of the, people mimic their lives in the fairy tale world somewhat, which is why her kid is able to figure out who's who, right? I forgot his name. Henry. Oh my gosh, I don't know how I forgot his name. He's so important.
It's okay.
Anyways, so Henry can figure out everybody by their similarities to the fairy tale world. So I feel like the curse definitely was based on their original personalities and just tweak them a little bit to, like, fit into the real world.
It's just weird to think about that, because the curse isn't an actual person. It's not like an actual person is controlling it. It's just, like, the magic of the Enchanted Forest that making that happen is so weird.
I don't know how the curse works, so I don't know if they were transported to the real world or if the fairy tale world is hiding under this mask of them in the real world, you know?
That's a good theory.
Because the items keep showing up, right? Yeah. After something is revealed to us and to them in the town, items from the fairy tale world or like animals or something like that will show up. Yeah. So if it's a mask, that would make a lot of sense because it's like these cracks are opening up in the mask and suddenly you can see more of the real world. So I'm thinking it's more like this mask rather than they were just transported somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's interesting. Okay.
Who knows? I could be completely wrong, but...
So we can start out talking about like the real world and what's happening in the present, and then we can go back
into the past. Sounds good.
Okay. So in the real world we see Emma and she's like she looks like she's going on a date, like she's dressed all nice, she looks good, and she walks in and she's like, "You're a criminal." Like, arrest this random dude.
That killed me. It was so funny. I love seeing a strong female character right from the get-go.
Yeah, this is why Emma's one of my favorites, because she is so cool. And, like, it's because, like, she's dealt with so much in her past life, much of which you don't really know yet.
Yeah.
It's just great how, like, she took that, like, negative energy and, like, she knew, like, what she was good at, and she, like, made a life for herself.
Right. To put it into context, so she is... Do they talk about this in the first episode? Who, like, her origin story? Yeah, right? Okay. So, she is the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. So, she became an orphan because she was set apart from this whole curse. And so, she... grew up as an orphan in foster homes, and that's the kind of rough experience that Brianna was just talking about. So taking that rough childhood and really running with it and actually using it to become a stronger person, that's something I really admire about her character.
Yeah, it's really great, because sometimes it's hard to, like, the foster system, there's a lot of issues with it, you know, and, like, it's really hard to, like, go from that and be able to, like, move on with your life, because, like, you turn 18 and you're out and you have to figure out, like, how you're gonna, like...
live.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And, I mean, in the show they talk about this too, but a lot of the foster homes don't necessarily want their kid. They just kind of want the money to be able to care for them, but also the money for themselves, I guess. So it's not always a good situation for the kid. Sometimes it is a good situation, but...
If they're lucky, like, there's a lot of good people that want to help them, but then there's also some other people.
Yeah, yeah. Emma had the bad side, but she came through, so yeah, that's really her background. Good.
And so we see Henry on a bus in Boston, and we're like, what, why is this like boy by himself? He has a book with him. Mm-hmm. And like all the adults on the bus are like, who are you? Are you okay? And then he shows up at Emma's place and he's like, hi, I'm your son. And she's like, what?
Can you imagine?
I can't believe he like found her. I don't know, like, what kind of 10-year-old is like, okay, let's just go from Maine to like Massachusetts and find someone without dying.
I can't get on a train by myself without a lot of advanced planning. So I don't know how old is he? Is he like 10?
He's 10, yeah.
He's 10? Yeah, this 10-year-old kid does this.
He's really resourceful like his mom.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know where it came from.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, but that's a lot of states to go through. But I imagine he did ancestor.com or whatever.
Oh, yeah, later in the episode, they're like, I can't remember exactly, but I think, like, Henry runs away again or Emma has to find him. And they go to see Snow White, who in the real world is Mary Margaret.
Yes.
And they're like, my son used someone's credit card. Well, oh. They're like, oh, he used your credit card for, like, tracking where Emma was. And she was like, what? I didn't give him that. She looked at her wallet. She's like, well,
yeah.
He literally stole his teacher's card. He was like, yeah, it's okay. She won't get mad.
Well, he knows which people to play, you know? He can read people's characters really well, which goes with the story as well, because Henry, the book that Brianna had mentioned earlier, he has a book of fairy tales that is supposedly about all of the people that are stuck in this curse in this town.
Given to him by Mary Margaret, aka Snow White.
Exactly. So that book he uses to figure out who these people are that are stuck in the town, like which characters match up with which of the people in the town. And some of them he knows pretty well, like he knows Snow White, he,
Regina.
For sure. Yeah, Regina he knows.
Regina's his, adoptive mother, and she is crazy.
So she's the one that put on the curse. We briefly touched on that earlier,
yeah.
But
I don't know if we exactly said, but if you've watched it, you know, but Regina is the evil queen who made the curse.
So. Right. And she's the evil queen in Snow White's story, which is why she and Snow White are often at odds in this story.
Well, more like Snow White being like innocent and Regina slash the evil queen being like, I hate you, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, she's very intense.
But we'll learn more about her in later episodes, find out why she hates Snow White so much, which you have yet to figure out.
Yeah, I still have no idea what's going on with that.
It's actually a really sad thing, but
well, don't spoil it. I promise. Okay.
Oh yeah, we could talk about how, when they get to the town, like when, before, I forgot to mention this, it's so funny when Henry sees Emma, because, she's like, kid, like, go home, or I'm gonna call the cops, and then he's like, okay, but if you call the cops, I'll tell them you kidnapped me, and then she's like, and they'll believe you because I'm your birth mother. Obviously, he really knew how to play her. Oh my god, he's so smart. Like, if someone said they were gonna call the cops to me, I would just run out of the house. I would not have a good comeback.
Yeah, honestly. But
Henry is savage.
He is. But if you think about it, though, this whole trip, right? I mean, he probably had it planned for a very long time because, one, it's his birth mother, so I'm sure that's very important to him, seeing as Regina is his adopted mother. And so, like, I think it makes a lot of sense that he would have thought it through a lot and, like, known kind of, like, okay, if she reacts this way, what am I going to say? How am I going to make this work so she can't get rid of me that easily?
And he definitely could have thought about it on the long trip, too, because I'm sure it was many hours to get there. I'm not exactly sure how long it was. First of all, I don't know exactly what Storybrooke is, except that it's in Maine. And Maine is definitely several hours from Massachusetts.
Right.
So.
Yes. And considering he went by bus, which is not at all the fastest way to go.
Maybe he, like, kept switching. Like, I wonder how he actually got there. Like,
yeah, are there trains between Maine and Boston?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know anything outside of the Midwest.
Yeah. I mean, whenever we go to Massachusetts to visit my family, we go by car.
Yeah.
And then I also think it's super sweet that he, like, came to her on her birthday. Like, she wasn't expecting it. It was, like, a nice surprise. Well, at first, a big shock. But I think it's really sweet that that happened on her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Which is also part of the plot, because Emma is part of the prophecy, sort of.
I've never actually connected that.
Wait, really?
Wait, I just never, like, thought about that. I was like, she turned 28, and they said on her 28th birthday, she will come back and save. That's, oh my god.
I can't believe you've never connected that. You've watched it so many times.
I don't think of the simplest thing.
Yeah, but on her 28th birthday, so... the prophecy
by
was right by Rumpelstiltskin, who we hate.
I love him. I'm just kidding.
So he said that Snow White's child on her 28th birthday would be able to save or come back and save them all from this curse, or at least start to. Mm-hmm. And so Henry shows up at Emma's place on her 28th birthday, which leads her into Storybrooke on her 28th birthday.
Yeah. It's just so weird because, like, Henry wasn't, like, technically a part of the fairy tale world because he's Emma's son. But it's, like, really interesting that it somehow wound up that he would find her on that exact day.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
it's almost as if the magic put something in his brain. They're like, you have to go.
Maybe it was Mr. Gold. He just, like, showed up at his door and was like, you know what? Today's the day. You should go to your birth mother.
I actually have one question for you.
Oh.
So you know how, like, nobody in the town, like, remembers who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, like, Mr. Gold somehow found a loophole through that, or do you think he's just as clueless as everyone else? It's very hard to say with him. You never
it
know
is.
What's happening.
I really don't, because he's so, what's the word?
Cryptic.
Yes! His character is so creepy and cryptic that it could just be that his personality is coming through in this new in this new town and new environment. But honestly, I really think he somehow found a loophole, because he just knows too much. Like, he just seems like he understands what's happening too much, and he knows how to play the rules very well.
Mm-hmm.
The rules of the game, I guess. So, and yeah, his relationship with Regina, too, is quite...
Yeah, they're kind of, like, a back and forth. They're, like, kind of enemies, but also, like, I feel like they could, like, use each other for mutual benefit if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, enemies. It's, like, hard to say, like, right now. But...
Yeah, it's a weird grayscale with some of these people. And as you go along in the episodes, you will definitely see that. But, like, Regina and Emma sometimes have to work together for the benefit of Henry.
But they still, Regina hates Emma's guts.
Oh, for
From
sure.
From the second she sees her, she's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know who you are. Well, now I do, and you suck.
Yeah, which, I mean, like, if she's as protective of Henry as she says she is, makes some sense. Because, like, this random lady shows up in his life,
you
know?
Yeah, like, I can see, like, why she would freak out. Like, if you adopted, like, a kid and you got, like, a close relationship with them, like, you would be so scared that they'd want to leave you for, like, their birth mother or
mm-hmm.
father. But also, the way she acts is not representative of a very caring person.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah.
She's
no.
almost, like, toxic. I can't even explain. Like, she's just something else.
Yeah, I really wish that, like, I mean, if she was a whole different person, you know, a caring, loving mother, that I feel like if she was that person, she would have understood Emma's importance in Henry's life.
Yeah, because, like, it's important for them to, like, talk to, like, their birth parents, because they want to know, why did you give me up? Like, was it something I did? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Because some kids could honestly feel guilt somehow. Like, they're like, well, I was a problem for them. They gave me up because I don't know. It's right. just, like, hard to deal with.
Well, I mean, it's hard when you don't have your parents, just in general. I feel like a lot of times when you are given up like that, it can feel like an abandonment, and that's so hard to deal with, especially your parents who are supposed to be the ones that are there for you always. You know, if they decide willingly to part from you, it's one thing to be like torn apart from your child, but if they decide to give you up to someone else, I feel like it really takes a lot of explaining and trust to be able to get yeah. that relationship back.
Because, like, it's hard. If they, like, had no choice, they couldn't afford to, like, have a child, or, like, if they are in a really bad situation and they think their child would have a better life,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain that, too, because you, like, understand more as you get older because you get more experience, but as a kid, it's really hard to understand that mm-hmm. sometimes. Yeah. And it's just, like, you just want to know about your parents. You just want to, like, know, like, if you're like them.
Mm-hmm. It's so, your history. Yeah. It's the people who are genetically, not exactly, but they're like you.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be a tie there for sure.
Yeah. And whenever they go into Storybrooke for the first time before she takes him home to Regina, we actually see Archie walking his dog. And so we find out that Archie is Henry's psychologist or psychiatrist, something like that.
Yeah.
And so he's been like helping Henry work out like all his personal stuff, and especially with the fairy tale characters, because they're really worried about him because they don't understand that it's real because they've been like tricked
yeah.
by the curse. So they're like, they think he's like, his imagination is just running way wild, mm-hmm. and they want to really help him out with that. So, but Henry mentions that Archie is actually Jiminy Cricket, which is really cool because he's the first person in town that we see compared to a fairy tale character.
Yes, besides, I think, Regina. Did Regina yeah. come first?
No, it's Archie first, because then he tells Emma where Henry lives so she can take him home.
Oh, okay, gotcha. But yeah, Jiminy Cricket, that's a really good comparison, I guess, because Jiminy Cricket is supposed to be the conscience in Pinocchio and... Yeah. anywhere else that he is. I think he shows up at somewhere else.
I think he helps also... what's the guy? Pinocchio's father's name. Do you remember?
Geppetto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he helps Geppetto and probably Pinocchio as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume.
Yes.
But we'll find out more about that in the episode where it focuses on Jiminy Cricket's past and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's a conscience, which makes a lot of sense to why he's a therapist here.
Yes, and he also carries an umbrella, I think.
Oh, yeah! Wait, is that what, like, the cricket has in Pinocchio? I can't remember.
Yeah, he does have an umbrella with him, so...
That's cool.
It works.
I haven't seen Pinocchio in a long time, so I don't really remember.
That's a very old classic movie.
I said Emma comes to Storybrooke and Regina be acting nested.
Well, she is. I mean, come on.
She's very possessive. It's really... I don't even understand her at all. She is...
I mean...
Well, we'll understand her more later.
We will
I'm
understand
acting
her
like,
later.
I don't understand her, but I understand her a little bit. I'm just like... I'm acting how I would act from just watching this episode.
She's trying to keep me from getting any spoilers. She's doing a really good job. I mean,
I'm like, pretty good at not giving spoilers most of the time. So, hopefully I don't spoil anything.
Yes.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about Fairy Tale World, but should we like jump more into it, and then we can add a few more things in Storybrooke at the end? But there's So in the Fairy Tale World, first it shows Prince Charming riding on his horse very dramatically, and he's going to find Snow White in the coffin, just like in the typical fairy tale. Mm-hmm. So it's like really nice to start off with something simple that we all know.
Yes.
And so like he wakes her up with True Love's kiss, and then it like cuts to them getting married, which is like
very jarring.
So it's a big sum jump in time, but you yes. know, we roll like that in the Enchanted Forest. And so at their wedding, they're like all happy and they're like, yay, we're getting married. This is like a magical moment, you know? And then the evil queen shows up like dressed in her very dramatic black outfit with like the jewels and her like super high ponytail.
Yes.
And she's like, I am going to, oh, she says something so dramatic. She's
I think like, it's like destroy your happiness and everyone else's oh, happiness yeah, or yeah, something.
Yeah, I feel like that's exactly what she said. She's like, everything you love, oh, everything yeah. all of you love will
be destroyed.
Yeah, something like that, something like that.
Yes.
So, and then, like, Snow White's like, oh my god, like, no, I'm so happy, stop ruining everything. And then, like, Regina is like, okay, I'm gonna disappear. And then for some reason, like, throws the sword at her, but it misses.
Yeah, doesn't it go straight through her and, like, land on the wall or something?
Yeah.
It's
so weird.
I mean, his aim is good. It was supposed to hit her, but she disappeared in smoke.
I mean, do you really think you can beat the evil queen? Like, she's been doing her thing for a while.
Yeah, not this early in the game, no.
Yeah, no, because then there would be no way for them to be in storybook.
You're right.
Then the evil queen, she goes to Rumpelstiltskin to find out about the crew. I don't know if it explains any of that in this episode.
Yeah.
But basically, she has this curse mm-hmm. where she gets to send all the fairy tale characters to a land with no magic, which we know it to be Storybrooke. And so, yeah, that's like her big plan for this movie. But the sad thing is that, Snow White is pregnant, like, right yes. around when she's, like, planning the curse. And her and all the fairy tale characters are, like, sitting at that round table.
I think that's in the second episode with Regina's backstory.
I don't think it is. Is it? I remember watching it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then, let's go for it.
Attention all passengers. There will be a quick topic change. Please fasten your seatbelts.
Okay, so actually, we found out that the evil queen says, where did it go? Oh, here it is. So, soon, everything you love, everything all of you love will be taken from you forever.
It's the most dramatic music. And then I remember after she says, well, I think before she says it, there's a super dramatic music when she walks into the wedding. And it's like, da 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 da. And it's so funny. And she, like, glides across the floor.
Right! I forgot about that. Oh my gosh!
The vampire running in Twilight, where they like glide, and like in Twilight, they like are actually like running on these like they have like these, like harnesses around them, and they're just like gliding.
Yeah, no, she did. I don't think she actually touches the floor. She just flies across the floor.
The most comical part of the episode.
Yeah, so anyways,
so after the evil queen threatens Snow White, she's like, she's so freaked out because she's pregnant, and she's talking to Charming. She's like, please, I don't want anything bad to happen to us and our baby. And so, I think Charming's like, I know what'll help or something. And so they go to the dungeon where Rumpelstiltskin is held, and this is his first appearance.
Ah,
my favorite character.
My least favorite character.
Oh my gosh, guys, I'm being sarcastic. He's not my favorite.
I mean, you have a history of liking the creepy ones. No, I'm just kidding.
Not him. That's going too far. Anyways, so they go to see him, and they're like freaking out, and they're like. They're, like, so worried. Well, Snow White's so worried. Charming, like, thinks it's an empty threat. But Snow White, like, knows the evil queen. She's, like, she has to, like, be doing something. Mm-hmm. And so at first when they go to see Rumpelstiltskin, the guard is, like, don't show your faces because if he knows your name, he has power, which we'll see throughout the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to, like, hide themselves. But he's, like, haha, I knew you would stop by. And he's, like,
his laugh is, oh my gosh.
I did that so bad, but, like, he's literally, like, do you know how to do
it? I don't know if I can do it. Like, that was not it at all.
He's, like, We're so bad at it, but he has the creepiest laugh ever. If you have time, look up a compilation of Rumble Stoneskin laughing because they're terrifying.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, so the creep factor is just ginormous with him. And let's see, what happened?
So he's like, I know what you came here for. He's mm-hmm. like, I'll give you information, but the catch is that you have to tell me the name of your child. And they're like, oh no, that's so bad. But they just, like, agree because they need to know what's going on.
Well, Charming didn't want to do it, actually.
But Snow White was yeah. like, yeah, she agreed immediately.
Yeah, and she said Emma.
Yeah.
So we get the confirmation that Emma is their child.
Yeah.
And
he tells them about how the Evil Queen plans to send them to a place where time stops, and they'll be imprisoned or something like that in a world where there's no magic and no happy endings. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. And so they go back and they meet with the council at the round table. And at the round table, you'll see Jiminy Cricket, Red Riding Hood, the Blue Fairy is there. I think, is Geppetto there?
I think so, okay. Right? Because he gave
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, he was going to build the tree, which we'll talk about in a second.
And then I'm sure, like, most of the dwarfs are there, or at least
yeah, a couple of them for sure. Most of the like a lot of good characters that are on their side are there at the round table trying to advise them.
And so Charming is like, we need to fight because he's super violent. And then Snow White's like, oh my god, this is terrible.
Oh wait, Jiminy Cricket was saying something about like
he was like, one should never give in to their own dark side, or something very dramatic but amazing because he's amazing. And I think in the real world he says something similar to that. Possibly.
Does he really?
I feel like that has happened, but I don't remember the exact moment when he says that.
We have to rewatch it.
Rewatch the whole episode again. Because like sometimes when they quote stuff in the fairy tale world, they'll quote it in the real world to like connect it.
Yeah, sometimes I do remember that.
I feel like he says that at some point, possibly, but I don't remember the exact moment. And so after he says that, I just found where he says it again. So whenever Emma asks Henry where he lives, he lies because like he doesn't want to go home. But then they run into Jiminy Cricket, and then Jiminy is. Or Archie, he's like, where did you go? Like, you weren't at my session. And then Henry was like, I went on a field trip. And he's like, he's literally lying to him. And so Archie says not to lie because it means giving into the dark side.
Oh.
So that's like the branch between the two.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So then back in the fairy tale world, Snow White's like, there's nothing they can do. Like, you can't change fate or mess with all that, mess with prophecies. But Prince Charming says that he repeats that Rumpelstiltskin said that their child will break the curse, so like they will be cursed, but if they get Emma out, then they will be able, she will be able to break it on her 20th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Blue Fairy shows up and she brings up some kind of enchanted tree. And she says that if Geppetto can make it into some kind of cabinet, or, like, I can't explain what it is exactly.
Yeah. There's, like, a door in the front of the tree, and basically there's a little hole inside the tree.
Where, like, one person can leave the Enchanted Forest to go to the world where they're gonna be cursed.
Right. So, basically, whoever's inside of that enchanted tree cabinet thing, is going to be free of the curse, or at least outside of the curse.
Yeah.
So that's, they plan on putting Snow White in there. Because
that's really unfortunate because that would separate her and Charming, and it's so sad.
Yeah, but then she would be able to protect Emma and really make sure that she saves everyone if they were both able to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which theoretically could work because she's pregnant with Emma still.
Yeah. But then, the bad news is that Snow White goes into labor literally right when the curse is happening.
Of course.
Of course that happens, because this show is nothing if not dramatic. And so she gives birth to Emma, and then they're like, oh my god, like, only one person gonna go through. And that's, like, crazy, like, sending a baby through, like, the portal. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. Because how is the baby gonna survive? Like, what? Like, how? Like, yeah. Where would she get sent to in the real world?
Well, you know? She gets sent to, like, the side of a highway, honestly, mm-hmm. Because that's where she said she got picked up, right? So. Yeah. So, it was a random place. It wasn't, like, in a crib. So, I guess she just was there until somebody found her on the highway and was able to take her in, luckily. Yeah. But that portal was, I mean, at least it saved her and got her out of the curse, but it was a little bit of a scary risk to put the baby through.
And then when Charming was taking her to the portal, he got, like, very severely wounded.
Right.
By the guards, because he was trying to protect her.
Which, he has a really badass moment there when he fights everyone with a baby in his hand. Like, come on now. Emma didn't get a scratch, but he definitely did.
And the sword's like, no. And then the evil queen shows up and she's like, don't worry, darling. Where you're going, you won't even remember him. And then the curse sweeps them away to Storybrooke.
Oh, but not before the evil queen is looking for the child, because she knows about the child. But the child was already put into the portal before she could get to her. So,
that's what my dad does.
Okay.
But yeah, even though they lost, like, the big battle, they won a small, okay, even though they lost the war, they won the battle.
Yes, that's true.
Because they got Emma out, which is eventually gonna save them, and beat the queen at her game.
Exactly.
She does not understand at all, because someone else told her about it.
Stupidest move ever by her, I'm just saying. Don't do your revenge with someone else's spell. That's not okay.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
Alright.
So I guess we covered all the fairy tale stuff. So the last thing we talked about was how Henry got dropped off at Regina's house, and Regina's like, Emma, I hate you.
Yeah, they have a very bitter interaction there. Yeah,
like, it's all Regina's fault, because Emma, like, would have acted normal, but then, like, Regina, like, keeps messing with her and stuff.
Yeah,
and
so aggressive.
But, one more thing I'd like to mention is that whenever they go into Storybrooke, she notices that the clock tower, like, doesn't work at all, because she's like, it's only 8, and he's like, Henry says, that clock has never moved, like, in my whole life, which is, like, 10 years
long. Right. So it's always been 8 p.m. at night for them, for some reason.
I don't know how they tell time there. Do they just go to school and just assume? Or are they just like, okay, this is probably time for school or something?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe is it just that one clock that was frozen, or was it just time in general? Because the way that they set it up, it seemed like it was time in general.
Wait, but Henry's been going to therapy.
Right, exactly. Henry's been, like, having a normal life. So I kind of think it was just that clock somehow, and that clock is symbolic.
Yeah, makes sense. Because it's, like, it's not, like, there's no time, like, they have normal, like, time so they can, like, wake up and go to school, but it's, like, showing that, like, no matter how long they're there, the characters will be the same age. Like,
right, yes. They are immortal, basically, while they're there, which is really funny because, as we mentioned, Emma is the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming. But Snow White and Prince Charming haven't aged for the 28 years that they've been stuck in Storybrooke.
Yeah, so Emma and her parents are the same age, and it's so weird. Like, if I met my parents and they were my age, I'd be like, what? You're not my parents, you're my friend, or something.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, the view for us, it's a little awkward because we know that it's mom and daughter, but they don't really know yet. So for them, they're just kind of friends at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Emma, like Henry's told Emma stuff, but she like obviously is not gonna believe him because right. Like, why would you? Like you've been living in the real world of like terrible stuff happening for so long, and like you're not just gonna. It's not. There's no way. Like there's magic.
Yeah, know? There's no way that you're going to believe that happy endings and fairy tales are real when you've had such a hard life yourself. Mm-hmm. So
whenever Regina sees Henry, we actually see Sheriff Graham there, who we don't nice. Know who it is yet. So, that's very interesting. You guys, if you have not seen any more of Once Upon a Time, you can guess who he is, having no context whatsoever. But whenever Emma drops him off, Regina actually invites her in for, a glass of apple cider because she's being sketchy and weird.
Right! I forgot about that.
Yeah, and so she's like, how did Henry find you? The adoption papers were closed, mm-hmm. so, like, they didn't know information about her, and she didn't know information about them, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, so...
And that was how she wanted it, because when she gave him up, she agreed, Emma agreed to a closed mm-hmm. adoption.
Yeah.
Because that's what she thought was best at mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah. And so Emma's like, don't worry, like, I literally just dropped him off because I wanted him to get home safe. I'm not trying to, like, burst into his life. Mm-hmm. And she's like, the father does not even know that he exists, so
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Yeah.
And then Emma brings up that Henry is, like, obsessed with these fairy tales, and Regina's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Acting sketchy? She has to know, right?
Like, she I don't know. I mean, I feel like she knows everything about everyone in the town, but she's the most oblivious about her own son,
that's
you know?
True, because he just runs off randomly.
Yeah, I mean, love is blind, so maybe she just misses everything.
Love. I'm holding up quotations because it's... Is it love? I don't know.
It's more like control. Yeah. But, yeah.
And so Emma, she's like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, go home, I guess. And then she's like, she sees that Henry left his book in her car. She's like, smart kid, like, dang. And then when she's, I think she's driving back or something. Mm-hmm. But she's driving and she sees a wolf randomly. Interesting. Mm. And so she, like, tries to avoid it and her car crashes. And she's like, well, that's bad. And she, like, is knocked unconscious. And then she wakes up and she's in jail.
What a day, honestly, for her. Her 28th birthday ends with, she has a son and now she's in jail.
Yeah.
So...
And then Sheriff Graham is like, hi, Emma, how are you? Why were you drinking? Because Regina set her little, like, dog or whatever on Emma because she, I don't even know. Emma was leaving. I don't know why she, like, was, like, arrest her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Graham is like, maybe you were drunk on the mayor's cider. Like, I guess she puts a little something in it. But yeah, Emma's like, I was not drunk. And he's like, whatever, I'll let you out anyway. But then Regina comes to the jail and she's like, why are you in jail? But she knows she's in jail.
Oh yeah, she is so manipulative. It's ridiculous. She's behind almost everything in this town.
She runs the town.
Yes.
Super, like, corrupt politics runs the town.
Yeah. No, she is behind everything. And she really knows how to blackmail and pull strings so that everyone is fearful of her and under her control, which is very, it's a good mimicry of the way that she is in the fairy tale world.
Yeah.
Because she has the same kind of evil ties to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And so when Regina's there, she's actually like, Henry's run away. And we brought this up earlier, but that's how Emma goes on his computer, finds the credit card records, and that's how they find out that he took Mary Margaret's card.
Mm-hmm.
Because they figure out how he found her.
Right.
That.
Which is the first instance of, like, Regina and Emma really trying to pair up
together for Henry's benefit, because neither of them know where he went, mm-hmm. and so they're both desperate enough to try and work together. And
yeah, Regina's very hostile.
So hostile, very reluctant for anyone's help in her own son's matter, but eventually they do find him, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, first they go to see Mary Margaret because right. they want to confront her about that.
Mm-hmm.
And since she has such a special relationship with Henry, she's like, maybe check his castle, because there's a little playground castle that he always goes to. It's like his right. little hangout. Well, not exactly hangout spot, because he's like more of a loner like Emma, but it's like where he goes probably for some quiet and to think about his little mission of breaking the curse in mm-hmm. Storybrooke. So yes. I think is it just Emma that goes to find him? I feel like she goes to talk to him.
Yeah, I think it's just her.
Yeah. And then they have a little heart to heart because he's talking about why he brought her there, and he says that he knows why she gave him away, and it's to give him his best chance. And he says that the reason that he knows that is because that's what Emma's parents did for her. And that's, like, the big... I feel like that's when he really, like, brings it into that Snow White and Charming are her parents. Because I don't right. know if he specifically said that yet, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it was probably the moment when he did kind of reveal to her, and you can really tell, like, with the relationship between Henry and Emma, that he views her as a hero that's come to kind of save him and the town.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess because he has such a negative view of his adoptive mother, it really makes sense that he would look to his birth mother as somebody to come save him and be his true mother, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's like, oh, that's, like, so sweet and innocent that, like, he, like, most kids would not be like, you gave me away to give me my best chance. Like, he seems like, in general, he's, like, a very positive person. And, like, yeah. he's always, yeah, he's just, like, always looking on the bright side. Like, he has his moments where he's down, but, like, he's very, like, happy and excited a lot. It's, like, it's, like, when you're a kid and, like, you have such an innocence that, like, you don't know, like, how, like, crazy reality is and how crazy politics and, like, life outside your little bubble is. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you live, like, a pretty privileged life, like, you have, like, that innocence and happiness about you, I would say.
Yes, he does have a little bit of, naivete, I think. I don't know how
he's
to pronounce
very naive.
That. Yeah, there you go.
Who isn't at, like, 10 years old?
Yes, 10 like, years old. Those are the glory days.
I don't remember much. So what grade were we in when we were 10?
Is that, like, fifth? Okay, because
like
five...
fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, because five is kindergarten, so... Yeah.
Fourth or fifth grade, I was... Fourth or fifth grade was right around when Tangled came out. So I was watching Disney movies and genuinely, like, I was still very much naive.
A true fan.
Yeah. So whenever they're having their little heart-to-heart, she does agree that that's why she gave him away. And he convinces her to stay in Storybrooke for 1 week. So Emma's like, I think, She decides that that would be a good idea, but then Regina, like, finds out that she wants to stay, because Emma's like, I might want to hang around a bit, and Regina's like, what, you are not his mother, which she says many, many, many times.
Yes, so many times.
Yeah.
She drives that home. So Emma, of course, not to be deterred by somebody who's trying to get rid of her, decides that that's gonna motivate her to stay for sure.
Yeah, she's like, Regina doesn't like me, more reason to be here.
Yeah, for sure. So at the end of the episode, we see that she is checking into a hotel.
Yeah, bed and breakfast, and it's run by, they just call her Granny. Mm-hmm. We don't really know who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she decides to stay there. And, Mr. Gold walks in. I think this is his first appearance in the episode. as in, Mr. Gold.
Right, yes.
So he walks in and he's like, what's your, I think he says, like, what's your name?
Right.
And then, because, you know, power of name for him. And then he's like, have a lovely stay. And she's like, I wonder who that is. And Granny and her granddaughter say that he owns the whole town. And she's like, what? Like, I thought the mayor owned the town.
Yeah, so Rumpelstiltskin is just one of those people that, like, he secretly makes everyone fear him. Regina is the out front evil character, but Rumpelstiltskin is an even more sinister form of evil because he hides and he just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, like you never see him coming. Like he'll act like he's just like minding his own business, but I feel like sometimes he's like hiding behind the sidelines, almost like he's doing stuff but nobody knows when he's doing stuff.
Oh, it's yeah. Like,
he's very secretive, but he's always up to no good.
In some ways, like I was saying, he's much more evil than Regina, I would say. Yeah. Because
you, like, I feel like, I don't know, like, Regina, there's some stuff, like, if it affected Henry, she wouldn't, like, completely cross that line. I mean, she definitely would do some terrible things, but I feel like she almost has a tiny, very, very tiny, like, conscience.
I think, like, yeah, I think there are a couple of people that she wouldn't want to hurt. And those people, like, Henry, really. And, like, she does, like, does she have a friend at this point? Not really, but, at least Henry.
Well, she's kind of friends with Spicero.
Oh, yeah, like, I guess.
They're
with
each other.
So at least with Henry, she wouldn't want to hurt him, but Rumpelstiltskin doesn't really have any ties at all. He doesn't have kids, at least not that I know of, and he's just very much a loner. And so that makes him even more dangerous because there's no one of value to him, that he would stop at a line for. So
yeah, like he's crazy. he does what he wants. He does everything for himself. Like he has his own stuff he wants to get done and he doesn't care like who he has to use to do it. Exactly. As we'll see throughout the show, because we don't know much about him yet. I'm doing a little foreshadowing, I suppose. So yeah. There's, like, a couple Easter eggs, like, at the end of the episode I wanted to talk about. And so one of them is we see Mary Margaret at a hospital, and she puts flowers next to this guy that's in a coma, and they say his name is John Doe. But we know from the fairy tale world that it's Prince Charming.
Yes.
But she, like, has no, like, recollection of him at all because she doesn't have any of her memories. So basically, she just drops off flowers by his side and leaves. But I think that's, like, a very nice way to end the episode because it shows him there. Because otherwise, we would assume him to be, like, not even there at all.
Well, we would assume him to be dead. He got injured so badly in the fairy tale world. So I thought he was dead for sure until the end of the episode. And then I was like, oh, yay, he's alive.
Yeah, well, in a coma, but,
he's there in some form, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very good optimistic way to end the episode, for sure.
And in future episodes, not all of them will end in quite a satisfying way.
Yeah, so we gotta take what we can get.
Yeah.
While it's here.
The last, like, Easter egg little thing I wanted to mention is that when Henry looks out his window at the clock tower, it moves for the first time, and he's like, yes, it's because Emma's here. We're changing things finally. And it's, like, really, really great that that was the end. It was, like, perfect.
Yes, it was a very good foreshadowing note, because now we know that things are about to happen, and it's a good way to end a pilot episode, really, to just kickstart the action.
Yeah.
So.
It's wonderful.
Very artistic and a good way to end it.
Yeah, so that's, I think we got, like, all the main plot points and some pretty good details.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any more theories or anything? I feel like we've gotten it pretty deep.
Yeah, we did. I talked about my theories that I have so far, and I will have more theories to come for sure, because I mean, right now you're just kind of getting introduced to these characters. So there's not too much to theorize because we don't know too much yet, but
do you have any guesses about why the evil queen hates Snow White? And yeah, because like,
I don't know. I feel like somehow Snow White like stole the evil queen's love interest somehow. But I don't know. First of all, I don't even know if the evil queen had a love interest, but I'm just assuming. I feel like that's one of the only things that would just turn somebody that evil.
Yeah. She's like really far into darkness.
Right. And I don't know, because I don't think Snow White ever interacted with anyone like that in the traditional fairy tale. But yeah, that's pretty much my only theory so far.
We have really like introduced a lot of characters in this episode. So we have Snow White, Prince Charming, Emma, Henry, Regina, and then we've talked about Jiminy Cricket and the Sheriff a little bit, Mr. Gold / Rumpelstiltskin, and then they also mentioned Granny, but we don't know much about her. So that's like a lot of like main characters, like for the pilot. I feel like that's so many.
It is a lot to keep track of. So if you got confused, don't worry, I did too when I watched the show the first time. So you can always rewind this podcast and try and figure out what we're talking about.
Yeah. And maybe as we keep going on, stuff will make a little more sense. Mm-hmm. It's very chaotic for a first episode. You're not supposed to really understand all of it because there's like so many little details we don't know about.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, I think we dived in pretty deep for this one. The episode might be a little long just because we had to cover so many characters. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, we will still have so much to unpack about all these characters because there's so many things that will happen on the show that we don't know about at this point.
Yes, it will be a fun whirlwind of a podcast and of a show. It will be very magical. So we hope you stick around for our next couple of episodes.
Yeah, that would be great. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you check out more episodes. And in the next episode, I think we're going to be diving into the Snow White movie, right?
Yes. We're going to be talking about, so we're going to flip between Once Upon a Time and the Disney movies that relate to the characters in some way, shape, or form. So in the next one, we're going to be talking about the original Disney animated Snow White movie.
Yeah, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes.
And it's like, it's going to be so weird to watch it because that movie is super old and I have some things to say about it, but I can't talk about it in this episode.
So you'll have to watch the next episode. Listen to.
And then we're also going to So first we're going to compare that to the show, and then we might also draw a little comparison to the Grimm fairy tales and see if that's much different.
Yes. So we're going to really try and pull from all of the knowledge that we have about fairy tales and try and give you something interesting to think about.
So. Yeah. So I hope you really enjoyed listening to this episode. If you made it this far, we love you so much. Thank you to all our friends and family that might listen to this.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think that wraps up the episode for today. We might add a little creepy Rumpelstiltskin laugh at the end.
A perfect outro. Alright.
Yeah, so thanks for listening to our podcast, and we'll see you next week with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Bye!